the basket through there before I went into the pudding.
Oh my gosh.
It was pretty neat.
Thank you.
what? He's still not there. Amen. He is risen indeed. He is risen indeed. Amen. Amen. We're so glad you're with us today. If you're a first-time visitor or an occasional visitor with us, we're glad you're here with us today. Just would encourage you to fill out your Connect cards. You'll find those in your bulletins as well. Drop them in the offering plate this morning as it comes around. That's your attendance and the information if you'd like us to send you any newsletter or anything from the church or a message to me, that would be the way we can pay that to me. So just fill out your Connect card, drop it in the offering plate, and we will know that you were here today. You will get accredited accordingly. So be sure to do that today. We are so glad that we're here in the house of the Lord today. What an awesome day. We had our sunrise service and we didn't get any rain. We came in with reports of rain once again all around us. But God is shining on us this morning. So we're happy and glad for that as well. We're here today to celebrate. We've got a couple of quick announcements to go over. Our church office will be closed tomorrow. Not an observance of Good Friday. We work on Good Friday and Good Saturday and Good Sunday. So we're taking Monday off. So any business with the church office, you can do that on Tuesday morning if you would, please. Our men's breakfast is next Saturday as well. We're going to get together and talk about some things. We're looking forward to getting together with our men's group. So be here next Saturday at 8 a.m. If you'd like to cook and help with that, you can sure use your help, probably around 6:30 or so. If you'd like to come and help prepare breakfast. But we look forward to seeing all of the church be here next Saturday for our men's breakfast. There's a lot going on in the life of our church. If you look at your bulletins, you'll see the things that are going on and a lot of places for you to get plugged in. So I would encourage you to do that as well. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship. You are called to worship. If you would, please stand and join me for our call to worship this morning. Jesus is risen.
Jesus is risen indeed.
Now say that again with conviction.
Jesus is risen indeed.
What that means to us.
New life, new hope, new us.
Come, let us worship our God who is full of surprises. Amen.
Thank you. we come to be shocked by this story of resurrection. Open our eyes, hearts, and minds to the amazing experience of resurrection. May the earthquakes rock our world. May we listen eagerly and expectantly to the women who bring this life-transforming news, even though we have heard it many times before. Come to us, God. Come to us, resurrected one. Come in song, in prayer, in words of scripture and sermon, in the presence of our sisters and brothers. Come and resurrect us. In the name of our risen Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
When she got there, she thought someone had stolen the body. We know she looks inside and there's two angels sitting there. You've heard this before, right? Okay. You all heard this story before? It's the same story. You need to hear it again? I miss my buddy, Pastor Peter, because they used to tell Peter we're guaranteed a job because we can tell him the same story over and over and over again. They continue to need to hear this story. So she looks in. There's two angels sitting there. They ask her, what is she doing there? She says, looking for my master. Oh, bless you. So she goes out and she sees a man in the garden and she thinks it's the gardener. Right? So what happens when she says, oh, you must be the gardener. Where have they taken the body of the man who was here? What did he say? Because Mary didn't know who it was, right? She didn't recognize him. What did the gardener say? No. She said what? Not yet. She said, the man says, Mary. When he said Mary, what happened? She recognized him as Jesus, right? You know, when a shepherd has sheep, the sheep follow the voice that they recognize, right? So if Mary recognized Jesus' voice and immediately said, oh, that's Jesus. Now I remember he said he was going to come back in 3 days. If you hear someone's voice that you know and you don't see their face, do you always know who it is? Do you recognize people's voices? If you didn't have caller ID and Destiny called you, Jayla, would you know immediately when she started talking that it was Destiny? Sure. Okay, Kat, if Destiny called you, would you recognize her voice? Absolutely, because people we know and familiar with recognize their voices, right? You think Jesus knows? Do you know Jesus' voice? Have you heard his voice? Have you heard his voice? What does it sound like? Do you recognize it when it speaks to you? Today we're trying to memorize Jesus' voice. When we hear a still small voice talking to us, that's God speaking to us. We need to be aware of His voice. And when we hear that voice, say, oh, without caller ID. Jesus can call without caller ID. You believe that? Yep, it sure does. So that's what we're taking away today. We need to listen for that still small voice. And like Mary, when the gardener said, when the gardener just called her by name, Mary, all they had to do was say her name and she knew who it was. Good stuff, huh? Learn his voice and learn to listen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this glorious day. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for the witness of Mary, who upon hearing her voice called out by Jesus, immediately knew who it was. Father, I pray upon us today, pray for us today, that we would recognize the voice of our Savior speaking to us. Thank you, Jesus, for the promise and the hope that you give us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, good deal. We go before the Lord in prayer. We have praises and prayers today. And I hope today that you come listening for the voice of God. The more familiar it comes to you, the more comforting that, that is. So I pray today that your ears and your heart and mind have been opened up to hear a still small voice that is God speaking to us. We have some prayer requests to lift up this morning. Matthew Meal, we had our Matthew Meals feeding program yesterday. We always get prayer requests from them as well. We publish in our prayer list on Tuesday. But these folks, we had 17 volunteers here yesterday after our Easter egg hunt, so I'm impressed that we got 17 people to stick around and help prepare our meals yesterday for our folks who come and we serve them through our Matthew meals. So thank you, everyone. We served 180 meals yesterday. Wow. Prayer request needing to be lifted up today. Miss Dorothy Leone, she had a fall and fractured her hip. She has spent some time with JFK. She's now at Lakeside in the care center recovering. So keep Dorothy in your prayers as well. Chuck Blankenship spent some time this week at JFK. And Joyce is telling me this morning that he's even getting worse. So he's coming home, but I'm sure that's going to be checked out. So keep Chuck in your prayers as well. Nancy Geddes, she had a fall this past week and had bumped some bruises, so we prayed that she would continue to feel well and get better as well. Phyllis Harrington as well had a fall. She spent some time in some rehabilitation centers. She's now at home with her daughter. So keep Phyllis in your prayers. Robert Heck, he's under hospice care, a former member of Lakeside. So keep the family of Robert Heck in your prayers. Dylan O'Brien is a young man who was struck by a truck. And so keep them in prayer as well for Dylan O'Brien. Here's a praise from Sharon Merrill, her sister Phyllis Carpenter, that she is continuing to get a clean bill of health from lung cancer. So that is a praise and hallelujah. So we're celebrating that as well. That's my aunt, by the way. Rosemary is lifting up her son Jesse for his health concerns. He's getting married next week as well. Congratulations. Congratulations on that. That's an awesome thing. Rosemary, you've had melanoma. We're lifting Rosemary up as well. Chuck Blankenship, of course. Brenda is lifting up one of their friends, Gene, who is critically ill in JFK as well. And Mary Hannah is lifting up praises to God for how He fulfills their needs and just taking care of them daily with His love. So that is a blessing as well. Andy, we pray for Andy that his faith stays strong in God's guidance in his life. So Andy, we're praying for you. See God at work in your life as well. So there's many things on our hearts today. It's not once a year that we go to the cross in prayer, but I encourage you today to go with a new and renewed heart. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are so grateful that you have revealed yourself to us in a new way. Father, like Mary, you ran and saw the empty tomb, we pray that as you spoke her name, Mary, that we recognize you in the workings of our lives. Father, today we're lifting up those mentioned here by name, wherever they may be suffering through illness, the setbacks that they have in their daily lives, Lord, financial, whatever takes away from our daily lives in worry. Father, we pray that this cup would be removed, that it would be taken away. Father, as Jesus prayed, we pray for your salvation to pour out upon us. Father, we come here this morning seeking your grace in a new way. Seeking your peace upon our lives. The hope that only can come from a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray today that as we've entered this place, we have come expecting a miracle. That we have come seeking God's face in our lives. But Father, more than that, I pray that we recognize it when you show up. Father, you're always there. You're at our side, whatever we're going through. Father, I pray we recognize you, that we see you for who you are, that we feel your presence surrounding us. Father, today we pray for new life as babies are being born into the world. I pray a blessing upon them. Blessings of health and health and parents that love and guide them. For loved ones to come around close. Father, our children are raised by a community, not just individuals. Father, I pray that our children would be nourished in this way. Father, I pray for those in the other end of the spectrum of life. Father, those that have lived a long life, in whatever number of years you choose for them. It's not the number of years we live. It's the life we live in those years. Father, today I pray for each one of us individually. You have called each one of us by name individually, and I lift each one of us up to our Heavenly Father today. As Jesus revealed himself to Mary, let him reveal himself to us as well. Father, we love you. We lift up our troubled world to you today, knowing that our only hope lies in you, a risen Savior. Father, we thank you for this glorious day as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Please come forward to receive our offering this morning.
bring to the cross, which you have provided us with. Father, we ask your blessing to share and spread the ministry and mission of your church. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
He is alive, just when it seemed everything.
He is alive. Amen?
Amen.
What an awesome God we serve. What an awesome love He shares with each one of us. Our scripture today is coming from Acts 10, verses 34 through 43. Bring you up to speed in the story. Cornelius heard a voice from God. Now, Cornelius was in the Italian guard of the Roman contingent there. But God came and spoke to him in that voice that he recognized as God. So that should give you some encouragement that when God speaks to you, as he did to Cornelius, you're going to know who it is. I hope that reassures you today. Because Cornelius, God told him to go find Peter, have him come back, and tell you about the gospel. And Cornelius was obedient. So hear these words, starting in verse 34 through 43, chapter 10 of Acts. And just know that Cornelius had gone to find Peter, to come back with the story of salvation for his family. Peter said, I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. This is the message of peace He sent to the Israelites by proclaiming the good news through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee. After the baptism, John preached. You know about Jesus of Nazareth, whom God anointed with the Holy Spirit and endowed with power. Jesus traveled around doing good and healing everyone oppressed by the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him up on the third day and allowed him to be seen, not by everyone, but by us. We are witnesses whom God chose beforehand, who ate and drank with him after God raised him from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Let us pray. What powerful words this morning, Heavenly Father, as Peter proclaims the good news to Cornelius and his family and friends. Father, today we pray that we would hear your voice and recognize it, that we would seek out Peter, as Cornelius did, to learn and grow more in our faith and to find the only place of hope for us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Powerful words this morning. Peter's giving us some insight into who was allowed to see Christ at the end. When he came back after 3 days, and the hope that incurred among the people. Now, if you don't know, Cornelius, he was a Gentile. He received this vision from God, revealing to him that he needed to find Peter and to hear Peter's preaching. I don't know if God came to you in the last day or two and said, go hear David's preaching. Anyone get that message? I did one of those robocalls and said, call everyone I know and tell them to go hear David preach. Were you expecting me? To be honest with you, that could come from anywhere. When God speaks to you, be ready to listen. Cornelius believed in something. Think about it. What did he really know about this Jesus? And apparently when God speaks to you, it draws you out of your shell. So that's our example this morning. These Gentiles, they weren't allowed to be a part of any of these Jewish rites and rituals. They weren't even allowed in the temple. But the disciples knew they had a job to do. They knew that when God called them to preach the gospel, that they were breaking down those barriers of heritage of the Jewish people. These folks had no right among the people of God. Now that's silly, isn't it? I just think that's silly. We folks sit here today with the same promise and hope that Peter had, and Cornelius received from Peter. We've got that same hope. We're talking about hope today. If we have no hope to participate in Christ-following activities and to build our faith and our trust and our belief in Jesus Christ as our Savior, this means nothing. I hope the reason you came here today was not because someone forced you to, I hope. Although being forced at the hand of God is not always a bad thing, is it? Because God can use that as well to reveal Himself to you. What I pray today for you is that you came here like Cornelius, thinking there's something to this good news they speak of. There's got to be more. Our lives can be pretty hopeless, can't they? But this thing that took place 3 days later, this empty tomb, verse 40 told us, God raised him up on the third day. He showed him openly. I don't know about you, but I pray on a regular basis, Jesus, just walk in the house and show yourself to me. Me and ye of little faith. You know, I'm very open with my congregation. There's days I struggle. There's days I wonder, God, what's this all about? Is this really what it's all about? I don't want to play anymore. Take me out of the game, coach. Put me on the bench. But then I hear that still small voice. And the hope of this third day, this day when the Holy Ghost can fall on someone I come in contact with this day. You know how often I'm inspired by people I come in contact with during the day? They have no idea how they're ministering to me. Me of little faith some days. So don't be afraid, whoever you're talking with, interacting with, or just be in casual conversation with, how you can change someone that day. You might be speaking with the voice of God, and someone hears your voice and recognizes God through you. Wouldn't that be an awesome assignment? Wouldn't that be an awesome testimony when we get to heaven and we're standing before the Almighty throne and Jesus speaks and it's in your voice? Whoa. What do you think of my God voice? Luke, I am your father. David, I am your father. Each one of you have a father in heaven. Where does this hope come from? Peter brought this message of hope to Cornelius and his family. Are you hopeful today, or are you hopeless? Easter is a time of hopefulness. We have the hope of Christ. In Mark 8:31, Jesus asked his disciples, who do the people say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist, Elias, maybe one of the prophets. And Peter himself declared his faith in Christ. People still didn't know who he was. They were hearing the voice, but thinking, oh, this must be someone else. But Jesus began to teach them. Teach them how he was to suffer. This past week we had some beautiful services here. Holy Thursday service. We remembered Jesus' last meal with his friends. We shared in Holy Communion together. But at the end of that service, the lights were out and it was dark. Jesus was being taken away on that Thursday night. Jesus was going to his tomb. He was going to the cross. But that's our hope. John 10, 17 and 18, Jesus says, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Now that's craziness. Now does that make sense? Jesus says, I give my life, I lay down my life so that I may have even greater again. You all sit here this morning believing that for yourself? You better raise your hand. If not, you are people of hopelessness. I told you, have some hope here. I'm trying to encourage you. How am I doing with that? Am I encouraging you yet this morning, or are you still sitting here in a sense of hopelessness? Folks, that empty tomb today gave us hope. You know what? I got a message for you. You're going to die. Anyone believe they're not going to die? Now, I thought I was going to live a long time, but you know what? I'm starting to get a little creaky. I don't know how long I want to live. But rest assured, each one of us are going to die. Now, my non-believing friends, I say, what's death to you? A light switch and dirt in your face, and that's the end? Or do you have that third day hope? Do you have that hope of an empty tomb? You think over here in the cemetery at Lake Worth, if we were to go over there and all those folks that have been put in the ground after 3 days got up and left? I ride by there sometimes to see if the dirt's been dug up to see if they've gotten up and left. Well, we don't need to do that for ourselves. Jesus did that for us. Why did he do that? Because we're stiff-necked, we're pig-headed. He couldn't just tell us, hey, this is how this is going to work. Those knuckleheads needed it printed out in black and white for them. Mary needed to go there and see a gardener of a person she had worshipped for several years at this point. She didn't recognize him. Now you think, well, you've spent a lot of time with this man. Why do you think he's the gardener? Why have they stolen the body of Jesus? He told them what was happening, right? He didn't keep secrets from them, and yet they didn't understand. But when he spoke her name, I pray someday that somebody says, hey, David. I'm like, I always ask myself, when I ask folks to tell me they hear voices, is it always the same voice? The voice is in your head. Is it always the same voice? Something to ponder this morning. As we ponder our own eternity, I've lost some loved ones in my life. And you know what? I'm glad. He's lost them. He slipped over the edge. We're all living to experience what Jesus experienced, right? We're not making it out of this deal alive. It's going to be over someday. And if you have someone you love sitting next to you right now, look at them and say, boy, I hope we meet up again sometime. But you know how that's the only way that's going to happen? This third day hope that we've been talking about. Jesus prayed in Matthew 26, 39. He dreaded the cup, but he was certain that it would pass from him. That cup of salvation, that cup of death that he spoke of, take this cup from me. Jesus was telling me it can be scary. It can be a little sketchy. But your faith will carry you through. In the case of Jesus, we needed visual evidence. I love that. He came back. He had meals with them. We stood on the Sea of Galilee at the church of Peter. They call it the Basilica of Peter. What was it? I forget, something like that. Because that's always been a powerful message, a story for me. Standing on the shore of the lake was Jesus. You know the story. They were in the upper room. It was hopeless. They're hanging out thinking the Jewish authorities are going to come and the Roman authorities and haul them all off and nail them on the cross. They were hiding behind locked doors. Finally, these disciples say, well, you know what? I don't know what to do now. All I know, I'm a fisherman. Frank, let's go fishing. We know nothing else. Let's go fishing, huh? Wouldn't it be awful, Frank, if you took people out and you never caught a fish? How long would you be a fisherman? You've been a fisherman a long time. Wow, you're actually pretty good at this, aren't you? You didn't know when you came to church today that you were going to stick out to me and I was going to have to speak to you this morning. I love you, brother, because you're a fisherman. Right, Max? With my other fisherman buddy. Those guys said, let's go out. And what I call go out and drown a worm, see if anything bites. What is something they knew all their life, they knew inside and out, they decided to go out and go fishing, what happened? Those poor rogues couldn't catch nothing in the cold. They could catch nothing. You've been out all night fishing, nothing. They see a man standing on the shore. As they draw closer, he's got a little fire, he's cooking some fish. Now Jesus is pretty good because he's cooking fish and he didn't even have to fish. Where'd that come from? Frank, if we can do that, we can, let's go into business together because I think we got something here. But when Peter saw him on the beach, you know Peter could outrun John running to the tomb, right? But God loved John the best. Make sure it told us that. What's Peter do when he sees Jesus on the shore? He just goes right over the side of the boat. Swims for it. Gets there, the man on the shore says, well, boys, how'd you do last night? Well, there's no fish in here anymore. I don't know what happened to them, but they're all gone. Jesus said, well, throw your net on that side of the boat. Oh, we've done that 100 times tonight. Just do it. See, they already argued and bickering with him on a typical fisherman. I already tried that for bait. It didn't work. Well, I'm not going to try that again. They threw their net out. They couldn't draw all the fish in. They had so many they couldn't bring them in. They had to drag them up to the shore and onto the beach. And there they go. But you know what I like about that story? They recognized Jesus. Still more proof to them that Jesus had risen. The tomb did not hold him. 3 days later, he's still doing his preaching and teaching. What also gets me there in that story is Peter sits beside Jesus and Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Well, of course I do. Feed my sheep. He asked Peter again, Peter, do you love me? Yes. Feed my flock. You know, by this point, Peter's saying, man, I know I denied him 3 times there in the courtyard that night. How did he know that? For one, he was told. Didn't Jesus tell him that going in? The third time he denied Jesus in the courtyard that night, Peter went, oh my gosh, there it is. How did he know that? Jesus asked him again, Peter, do you love me? Do you think Jesus believed him? Do you think he took that to heart? Do you think Peter said, I must not love him enough? What Jesus did was say, I'm going to build my church on this rock. There's a beautiful statue there on the Sea of Galilee. With Jesus anointing Peter, the rock. This church is built on that rock. That three-day hope. The presence of Jesus Christ is in this place. This is holy ground. It's the hope of the church. I love this out of Exodus 8:27. Moses told Pharaoh that Israel could go 3 days into the wilderness to worship. Pharaoh said, go and worship. Go do your thing. But don't go too far. Just don't go too far. The world is fine with religion as long as we don't go too far with it, isn't it? Are you willing to go too far? Are you willing to be an eyewitness? Are you willing to go too far? The world's telling us today, you people can have your living God, the risen Christ, just don't go too far with it. Do you feel like that's what the world's telling you today? Keep it under wraps. Keep it quiet. And don't bother me with this stuff. That's what the world tells us today as Christians. It tells us to lighten up. Today, religion seems dead in a lot of ways, doesn't it? What is religion? Religion is what we've done to it, isn't it? It's what we've done to the message of Christ. Religion is what we're trying to do to say, oh, we know better than God. Peter said that it appeared to him that God didn't really pick a group over another group. I hope that's reassuring to you today. I hope that we can leave this place today with 3 day hope. Do you have that hope today? I hope it's just not on Easter, because you know what? That's a tough deal. That's a tough sell. If you walk out of this place and say, well, I'll see you next Easter, God, you might need a booster a little bit before that. If you come here and listen to these awesome messages that I preach every week, I think you'll do okay. Can I get any new commitments to come back every week and listen to this awesome preacher preach? Well, boy, this is not expected. You know what? I am who I am. I'm not who I want to be. I'm not who I am yesterday. I'm not where I want to be. But you know what? I hope I'm on the path to where I need to be. Are you living that today? You know, folks, we're losers. We're lousy. We're losers. We stink. Yeah, we stink. Just want to make sure with me and not one of you on the front row. Folks, without this third day, 3 day, this hope that comes on the third day, we're nothing. If Jesus, you realize if Jesus was still in that tomb on Sunday morning, this was all a lie. Every bit of it was a lie. Just put that into perspective. There was a lot of stuff happened in this book up to this point. Look, boy, that's a big, look at the big book here. That's a lot of pages in there. There's a lot of stuff happened way back here in the front part of this book. There was a lot of stuff going on that didn't play out until Jesus shows up. If he doesn't show up, go to the cross and die, 3 days later, come out of that tomb, man, they wasted a lot of ink and paper and a lot of trees died for this foolishness, didn't they? We've got a hope today that third day hope will carry us to the end. I hope you feel that way today. I hope you feel that your faith will carry you to the end, because you're going to die. You're going to be put in the ground or somewhere, maybe sprinkled out of the ocean. I kind of like the idea of being chunked over the side. Right? If I go first, will you throw me over the side? Okay. Let them cremate me first, because that could get ugly, okay? Folks, Jesus loves you. That's the real message today.
Amen.
Jesus Christ loves you. I told the folks at the sunrise services that God loved me more than them. And I said, turn to your neighbor and tell each one of your neighbors that God loves me more than you. And that neighbor could say the same thing back to you. What does that mean? That's a riddle. That means that God loves you more than anything. He sent His Son here to die for you. In an agonizing kind of way. We walked the property here on Friday. Remember the story of Him carrying His cross, trudging up the hill. I've been there. It's not a pretty sight. Where they say Golgotha is today is a bus depot, a bus yard. There's city buses, hundreds of them, all crowded around this little place on the ground that says this is where Jesus was crucified. Not much has happened. That's what I called it, walking the property here. This really is no different than where Jesus suffered and died. It could have been the same place. It doesn't have to be some magnificent place in the wilderness. It's what Jesus did for us. So my hope for you today is that someday we'll meet up yonder and we all love each other as much as God loves each one of us. You know, our eternity has already started here, you know. This is part of our eternity, what you're living today. Today, your eternity has started. Now that can scare you because you've got some work to do, right? But God believes you can do it. He trusts you. He spoke to Cornelius, He'll speak to you. So today is the hope of the third day. Our outlook is bleak without it. The end can be near, and we have nowhere to clear. I'm not a poet. But God loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an awesome, awesome message today from Peter. Let us be like Cornelius that heard the voice, that had the vision of God calling him out. Father, I pray today that we live in this third day hope. That tomorrow will not scare us. Tomorrow has no bearing on where we will spend our eternity. Father, we love you. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for us, for one, but then on the third day rising from the grave. Father, we love you. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Closing hymn, He Lives. Amen.
I'm not afraid to die.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Take this blessing with you from this place. Jesus Christ loves you more than you can ever imagine. Go forth from this place. Be Peter in the world. Take the message of the good news of Christ to all you come in contact with. Go now from this place in peace, with God's grace flowing about you abundantly. In His name we pray. Amen.